And we'll be back again tomorrow with another background briefing. Bye for now.
Hello, this is Pamela Badila, your neighbor from Data Data International Folkloric Theater, and you're listening to your radio station, WGXC, Acre, New York, hands-on community radio for Columbia and Greene County. Enjoy.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable. All the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Gina Martin of Athens, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Brendan J. Lyons is reporting for the Times Union. Federal law enforcement officials have revived a criminal investigation into the town of Prattsville's use of more than $5 million in aid from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development received in the aftermath of a series of devastating storms in 2011 and 2012. The FBI investigation is currently pending before a federal grand jury in Albany. The probe is focused on grant applications submitted by Prattsville Town Supervisor Corey O'Hara. Accusations have persisted since 2013 that town officials misused tens of thousands of dollars in aid and had refused to release their spending records. When contacted by a reporter this week, O'Hara's attorney, William J. Dreyer, declined to comment. Prattsville was leveled during Hurricane Irene in 2011. The federal aid received was used to help rebuild homes and businesses and to pay for two new bridges, the reconstruction of Main Street, and a recreation complex. The decisions on how the public funds were spent were made by a 12-member planning committee that included O'Hara and Councilwoman Bonita Chase, the deputy supervisor. Town Clerk Kathleen Sherman confirmed the town board September 9th voted to rehire Thomas A. Capezza, a former assistant U.S. attorney and general counsel for the state police. The town hired Capezza in 2017 to help respond to federal subpoenas. The subpoenas called for documents related to the funds received through the New York Rising Community Reconstruction Plan. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Kayla Harris reports in the Albany Times Union that Governor Andrew Cuomo plans to release a proposal to legalize the recreational use of marijuana in January inside next year's state budget. Cuomo plans to meet with leaders from nearby states to devise a, quote, common framework, unquote, for marijuana laws, including minimum ages or permitted THC content. Quote, the best way to get things done, I think we can all agree, is in the state budget, unquote, Cuomo said. Quote, when it's not in the state budget, that's when things get problematic, unquote. Individual lawmakers get less sway over legislation included in the budget, and Democrats have little choice but to vote for the overall spending bill. Read more about this story in the Albany Times Union.
MinutesandNews.com is reporting Rockland County officials have declared the measles outbreak over. The last case was reported on September 24th. County Health Commissioner Dr. Patricia Schnabel-Rupert said two basic factors caused the outbreak. She said, and I quote, We have found it to be a combination of those who refuse to vaccinate and the vaccine hesitant group that unscientifically staggers the vaccinations for their children and leaves them vulnerable to vaccine-preventable disease. Many of these previously under-immunized children were immunized with MMR vaccine during this outbreak, end quote. Since the outbreak began in October 2018, there were 312 reported cases of measles in Rockland. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that Village President Vincent Seeley says that the Catskill Village Board of Trustees voted to sell a portion of Elliott Street. There is not supposed to be driving on this road, which is more like a bit of land between Box Drop, Maastricht, and Dunkin' Donuts at the intersection of Route 385 and Route 9W. Seeley says the village has been allowing people to drive there, though not legally. Quote, technically people can't drive around Drop Box Mattress, but we let them, unquote, Seeley said. The property is appraised at $18,000. The owner of the Dunkin' Donuts Plaza has told the town that they would like to add a drive-through, Seeley said. The story does not mention when the property might be sold. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Jeanette Wolfberg is reporting for the Columbia paper on details of the September 3rd Hudson Board of Education meeting. Superintendent Maria Stoudemire acknowledged that Hudson High School principal Antonio Abitable is leaving the district effective December 21st. He has been hired as superintendent of the Lansingburg Central School District in Troy. Stoudemire said Hudson will begin its search for a new principal this fall. The board welcomed Piper Nayowith, the new student representative. Nayowith is a senior at Hudson High School, and she is currently president of the student council. When asked if she had goals for her term as student representative, she said, and I quote, to make sure everybody has a good school year and that there's open communication, end quote. Stoudemire provided a progress report on the district's ongoing construction projects. She said the asbestos abatement is complete at the Montgomery C. Smith Auditorium and at the junior-senior high school, and new audio-visual equipment has been ordered for both locations. A new set of heated stairs to the M.C. Smith second floor is expected to be completed this month, and the old sidewalks in front of the school building have been removed and will be replaced. Read the full story in the Columbia paper.
Amelia Teasdale reports in the Columbia paper that a proposed law banning sidewalk bike riding on Main Street in Valencia has been tabled by the village board. The August village board meeting, there was discussion of complaints about bike riders. But a month later, Mayor Diane Argyle said that there has been, quote, no other comment from anyone else in the village about the bike law, unquote. Argyle asked the board to table a public hearing on the proposed law, but it may return. Randall Schmidt, president of the Valencia Economic Redevelopment Association, said that the bike issue has, quote, gotten a lot better, unquote. But he was planning to speak with local business owners to find more issues with bike riders in Valencia. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
PS21 announced September 24th the selection of new officers in the wake of the passing of the performance venue's founder and president, Judy Grunberg. Grunberg, an artist, business owner, and philanthropist, died August 30th at the age of 86. On September 19th, the board selected Marcia Fardella and Marion Kruskop to serve as PS21's co-presidents and carry on Grunberg's work. Fardella said in a press release, and I quote, while no one can replace or duplicate what Judy has done, imagining and creating a first-class performance venue in our backyard where world-renowned dancers, musicians, and actors perform for our community, we are committed to continuing her vision, end quote. Also elected to join the board was David Grunberg, one of Grunberg's sons. Fardella has served on the board of PS21 since 2014. She is a graphic designer by profession. Kruskop has a career in public health, most recently at New York City Health and Hospitals, the city's public hospital system. David Grunberg is the president and artistic director of the Spectrum Symphony in New York, based in Manhattan. PS21's 2020 season will combine its historic favorites with new performances in a variety of disciplines, as well as various community activities. Read more at ps21chatham.org.
October 11th is the deadline to register in the November 5th town and county elections. This year, though, voting begins October 26th at a limited number of locations. Locally, Greene County has one location in Catskill, while voters registered in Columbia County have three locations to vote ahead of November 5th. The county office building in Hudson, the Martin H. Glynn Municipal Building in Valencia, and Copaic Town Hall in Copaic. In southern Albany County, the Helderberg Ambulance Site at 978 Cole Road in East Byrne will be set up for all registered voters in election districts in Byrne, Knox, Rensselaerville, and Westerloo. The Bethlehem Lutheran Church at 85 Elm Avenue in Del Mar will be for voters registered in Bethlehem, Coymans, and New Scotland. In southern Rensselaer County, the Skodak Town Hall at 265 Schumann Road in Castleton-on-Hudson will be set up for early voting. To gain political advantage, Republicans in the majority in Rensselaer County did not set up an early voting site in Troy, the county's largest city and home to more Democrats than GOP members.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, a chance of showers after 1 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a high near 73 degrees. Thursday night, a slight chance of showers before 10 p.m. It will be partly cloudy with a low of around 48. And on Friday, sunny with a high near 72 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear with a low of around 54. So there you have your weather update brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Listen out for these live broadcasts and extra web streams on the WGXC program schedule during the coming week. On Thursday, September 26th, WGXC Live will carry a live web stream of Bobby Previtt's Blueprints performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. There should be a live web stream at WGXC.org around 9 p.m. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Thursday, September 26th, taught by author, artist, educator, and social activist Maureen McNeil. This class, in collaboration with the City of Hudson Senior Center and the Hudson Area Library, will focus on discovering the power of the inner self through the practice of daily writing. Registration is limited at programs@hudsonarealibrary.org and is on a first-come, first-served basis. Bobby Previtt leads a conceptual performance with webcasts at WGXC.org and Wayfarm.org. Previtt has invited some of his favorite musicians in the Hudson Valley and beyond to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill for these inaugural concerts of his newest project, Blueprints, starting at 9 p.m. The ensemble will play, distort, improvise around, and sometimes ignore these fragments. Using hand signals, body movements, and the occasional odd glare, Previtt conducts the musicians through the maze, taking a different path every night. WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Wayfarm's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wayfarm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Wendy Schmaltz of Claverick, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
We know that women are the deciders of elections, and particularly women of color, Black women in particular. And yet none of our policy or our laws reflects that.
That was Catherine Granger, co-founder of Supermajority Education Fund, a grassroots organization that launched back in April to advance the goal of women's equity. Women tend to vote in higher numbers in elections, and that's where the name comes from. Yesterday, Supermajority's cross-country bus tour stopped in Des Moines and Cedar Rapids. It's an organizing tour with outreach and trainings on how women can make their voices heard.
The 2018 elections elected a historic number of women in Iowa. And, you know, it's a unique space in terms of the women's vote, the women's voice. And so that's what we're really excited about as we continue through the Midwest.
They're rolling out what they call their majority rules, an agenda they'd like to see enacted compiled from a survey of over 100,000 women. They found that some of the biggest concerns were around safety, respect for women's bodies, workplace equity, and family support.
Women want to connect in community. We're providing the training and the tools that they need in order to participate in democracy. And then we're creating this values agenda so that we can actually start to live in the world that we want to live in and where we can prosper and our families can prosper.
Another demographic that may want to learn how to participate in democracy are young people. That's why Des Moines Public Schools partnered with the Des Moines Register to host a Youth Voices Forum last weekend. Many of the students' questions were on the same issues adult voters ask about: gun control, climate change, unifying the country. But Fez Zaffer, Roosevelt High School student body president and event moderator, asked each candidate this question.
When registering to attend this event, about 57% of students reported that they'd be eligible to vote in the 2020 election, yet only 44% said that they plan to. What will you do to engage America's youth and increase voter participation?
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has been pursuing and getting his message across to young voters since his 2016 campaign.
I believe very strongly that if we're going to maintain a vibrant democracy, we have to involve young people, let them know that their voices count. Get them to thinking about the issues that impact their lives.
And sometimes, according to Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, young people are more in tune with the issues than their older counterparts.
Finding these subtle distinctions in these answers or in your questions is really what our democracy is supposed to be all about. So I congratulate you and the rest of you for conducting a forum that's like 10,000 times better than the debate stage.
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at PacificaNetwork.org and PublicNewsService.org.
Next, we have these reports.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at Mediasanctuary.org.
The mission statements of the DEC is to conserve, improve, and protect New York's natural resources and environment, and to prevent, abate, and control water, land, and air pollution in order to enhance the health, safety, and welfare of the people of the state and their overall economic and social well-being. So I want to start off today by thanking the DEC for rejecting the Williams Pipeline in New York City. I was rejected it not once, but twice. But I also want to thank you. I am an activist. Everyone here is an activist. And it was the activists who called on the DEC to reject that pipeline. So let's hear it for us. The DEC is facing outright hostility from the federal government right now. The Trump administration has done everything in its power to render the EPA not just useless, but malevolent. It has stocked the EPA with sociopaths in positions of authority, and that has undermined the career people there who are good people who have tried to keep this country safe for a long, long time. The EPA currently wants to basically take away the powers of the Clean Water Act from the DEC. And we need the DEC to live up to its mission statement. That has never been more apparent than today. For those of you who have followed climate change over the last 10 years, it closely parallels the advance and spread of fracking in Pennsylvania, in 34 states nationwide, around the world. That has led to a massive methane spike in the atmosphere. So, what is happening in New York today? Well, the natural gas industry is trying to put pipelines in wherever possible. It is trying to put in natural gas-run power plants wherever possible. And the DEC has it within its power to block those things. Specifically, Cricket Valley. That's a fracked gas power plant, and it needs a supplemental environmental impact statement since it is currently being built based on nearly decade-old science. We need to reject Cricket Valley. Also, just as the proposed power plant in Sheridan Hollow was taken away, there's a power plant in Danskammer that can be also outright denied by the DEC. The DEC can shut down the CPV power plant. It can also stop further expansions of frack gas pipelines, including the Spectra Algonquin pipeline near Indian Point, numerous expansions in the Five Boroughs of New York City, the Reuter pipeline in Otsego County, and many, many more. But we need to understand, the DEC can no longer be a political entity. That's how it's been treated by past administrations and the current administration. The DEC now has to step up. So this goes out to the DEC employees. You need to transcend politics. You must adhere to science and truth. You are individuals. You live and die as we all do, and we are facing an existential threat today. We are all facing extinction. If the time comes when you must step up as a whistleblower to stop this spread of fossil fuels in a rigged system, you must do so. So let's hear it for the DEC to live up to their duties.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
And welcome back, listeners. This is Holly Tanner and your host of Talk with Tanner, right here on 90.7 FM WGXC. I should read. Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. But we also have a caller on the line right now. And why do I feel like I can't hear myself? Turning that. Oh, that's better. Caller on the line, none other than our own Senator Daphne Jordan. Hello, Senator.
Hi, Holly.
Hi.
Is that my friend Gary Flaherty is there as well?
Gary is there. You should put your headphones on, Gary, so you can hear the senator. Yes.
Hi, Gary.
Oh, but- can you hear her?
Yes.
Oh. There he goes. Yeah, I'll turn his mic on, too. Yeah, Gary is here live in studio. We've been talking about the unfortunate statistic of military suicides because September is Suicide Prevention Month. And then later, after we talk, he's going to talk to us about his new the Dwyer program. So, but we wanted to talk with you about the Golden Gathering.
Yes, I am very excited for the Golden Gathering, and of course, you're partnering in it with me this year, which makes it doubly exciting.
Yes, I'm very excited.
So October 5th, Saturday, from 9:30 to 12:30 at Columbia Green Community College in Hudson, we will be hosting the Golden Gathering, and it's in its 27th year, and I have to tell you that ever since I was elected as senator, when I'd run into seniors in Columbia County, the first question I'd get asked is, are you going to also have the Golden Gathering? And my response was always, absolutely. It's so important for our seniors to get the information that's provided at the Golden Gathering.
And I believe that it is a big social event every year from my having been there the past 6 years as Senator Marchione's staffer.
Right.
And just from talking to people. So it's a big to-do, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I appreciate being asked to co-sponsor with you or help out in whatever way I can. It's going to be a fun event for sure. And you have, or we have, are there over 50 exhibitors?
I think we're about at 60.
60 exhibitors.
So, you know, some of the great things that will be happening there are we'll be having a flu shot clinic. And so for that, I would say to those that have health insurance, bring your health insurance card.
Right.
But it will be free for those that are uninsured. And Mid-Hudson Cable picks up the cost of that.
Yes,
so that's a wonderful service to everybody.
Do you want to give a shout out to Mid-Hudson Cable, one of the major sponsors of the event?
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Mid-Hudson Cable.
Absolutely.
For all you do, for providing great broadband.
Right.
In Hudson, I know that's where it shines.
It really does.
County.
The service in
the
Columbia
rest
County.
Of many parts of the county are lacking in that, but where Mid-Hudson Cable is, they do a good job.
They really do an excellent job, yes.
So, and I thank them very much for covering the cost of the flu shot clinic for those that are uninsured.
Yeah.
We also are having our Columbia County Sheriff Bartlett and his office there to provide free senior citizen ID cards. There will be free blood pressure screenings. Dr. Terry Sullivan will be there to do hearing screenings.
Right.
And you know, it's not all about health, though a majority of it is. It's
because it's the harvest of health, wellness, isn't it?
And wellness includes socialization too.
Right.
So you know, there are, for instance, we'll have the Adult Learning Institute there from Hudson, and they have their programs at Columbia Green Community College. But you know, they do fun things like bridge and pinochle and teach mahjong, and they have garden basics classes. I'm looking at their schedule for next month. You can explore your family history. So there's, you know, there's fun stuff too. And of course, we will be having live music.
Right.
And light refreshments, and we'll be giving away door prizes and free tote bags. So, you know, there's a lot going on there.
This is WGXC's Congressional Report, tracking the votes, words, and actions of Representative Antonio Delgado, Democrat from Rhinebeck, representing the 19th Congressional District, and Paul Tonko, a Democrat from Amsterdam, from the 20th Congressional District. The 538.com website reports that, so far, the first-term Congressperson Delgado votes with Donald Trump's positions 4.3% of the time. Since Democrats took over the House of Representatives, Tonko also votes with Trump's positions 2.2% of the time. In the previous congressional session, Tonko voted with Trump 22.6% of the time. Tonko has announced he is in favor of impeaching Donald Trump. Delgado has not.
David Lombano reports at Capital Confidential that both Antonio Delgado, a Democrat, and Elise Stefanik, a Republican, signed on to a letter September 6 condemning a New York City plan to ban flavored milk in New York City schools. The federal lawmakers wrote, and I quote, "We strongly urge you to continue offering children the choice of flavored milk each and every day in New York City schools," end quote. They also say there are bipartisan bills in Congress currently meant to expand flavored milk options in school cafeterias. Read more about this story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. Emil Munson reports in the Albany Times Union that David Ross, the assistant administrator for the EPA's Office of Water, refused to name a federal maximum contaminant level for PFAS and PFOAS at a U.S. House of Representatives committee meeting September 18. Representative Antonio Delgado at the hearing said, and I quote, "You're suggesting that you could go through this whole process and ultimately not land on a MCL. You want folks all across this country to continue to wait and wait and wait on the off chance that maybe we'll get a point where you just might have enough information to issue an MCL. Is that what you're telling me?" End quote.
Delgado's 19th congressional district includes Hoosick Falls in Rensselaer County, where PFOA contamination has poisoned the drinking water. Delgado and Representative Paul Tonko, who represents the 20th district, including Albany County, are working together on legislation regarding PFAs and PFOAs, and Tonko gets a seat soon at negotiations with the U.S. Senate over the National Defense Authorization Act that includes...
So glad we're back together now. So glad you're here. Got lost in the jungle, out there somewhere. You never know how much I missed you. Yeah, it wasn't the same. Getting by every day without my best friend. Yeah, I'm so glad that we're back together. You and I.
WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
You're listening to Transmission Arts programming on WGXC.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
If you can't make your local town meetings but want to attend, WGXC can help. Currently, local volunteers make recordings and live web streams of the Catskill Town Meetings, the Hudson Common Council Meetings, and the Columbia County Board of Supervisor Meetings. If you miss the live web streams, volunteers post recordings of these meetings as soon as possible at WGXC.org on the newsroom page and in the audio archives. If you're going to local meetings and you have a phone in your pocket, you can help too. Email info@WGXC.org and WGXC will help you share recordings of local meetings and events. You can also use the free WGXC app, available in the App Store, to do your own live webcast from local events. Contact info@WGXC.org for more information about how you can help share valuable local information about your community with your friends and neighbors.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Wayfarm's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wayfarm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ralph Gartner of Volusia, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, September 26, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. Select lawmakers get a first look at the Trump whistleblowers report. Also on our rundown, we'll take you to a state where overtime rules are leaving workers behind. Topping our news, House Democrats rushed Wednesday to plot the course of their formal impeachment inquiry into President Trump. They got their first glimpses of the secret intelligent whistleblower complaint that touched off the investigation, that from the New York Times. The Times notes even as they obtained those crucial details about allegations that Mr. Trump pressured a foreign leader to help him tarnish a political rival, those Democratic leaders did not plan any immediate action to formalize their impeachment inquiry. Analysts say the U.S. Labor Department's new overtime rule for salaried employees shortchanges thousands of Pennsylvania workers.
In 2016, the Obama administration proposed raising the maximum amount salaried employees can earn and still be entitled to receive overtime pay to more than $47,000 a year. But the new rule, announced on Tuesday, raises the threshold to less than $36,000 a year. According to Stephen Hertzenberg, who heads the Keystone Research Center, that means many workers will continue to be denied pay for the extra hours they put in.
Bottom line is 310,000 workers in Pennsylvania that the Obama administration was proposing to make automatically eligible for overtime will miss out because the new rule doesn't help them.
The Labor Department says the higher threshold is the first increase since 2004 and will make more than 1 million workers nationwide eligible for overtime. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
In Pennsylvania, the governor's proposal has provisions to let overtime threshold keep pace with the changes in the cost of living. Towns in coal country considering what happens next as companies and the fuel hit hard times.
Next week, the North Dakota mining town of Beulah hosts the Building Resilience in Coal Country Community Forum, featuring speakers with knowledge on economic diversification, revitalization, and rural planning. Jack Morgan is with the National Association of Counties, studying how communities can work through economic stresses. Morgan says it's important for communities to invest in their place, such as natural landscapes and even the recreation economy, as well as infrastructure such as broadband internet, and also in the workforce and related sectors for dislocated workers.
Coal-reliant communities really have a sense of self-reliance and grit, and they're equipped with that grit to bounce back from anything.
Morgan adds that communities planning for the future should have a diverse group of stakeholders at the table.
That was Eric Tanoff reporting. This is PMS. The Yampa River is a key contributor to the Colorado River Basin, which provides drinking water for 40 million people across 7 states.
And now the Yampa has its own dedicated fund. Water funds have been used around the world as a tool for bringing diverse interests together to protect water resources. Kelly Romero Heaney is water resources manager for the city of Steamboat Springs. She says because no single entity has sole authority over the Yampa, the fund can play a critical role in keeping the river healthy.
We're all accountable for it. And so it really forces us to work together, to form partnerships, so we can manage the Yampa River watershed as a whole system.
Romero Heaney says last summer the Yampa got so low that it couldn't meet the needs of farmers, ranchers, and towns, so part of the fund will be used to tap reservoirs to keep water flowing during low-flow years and drought. The fund will also help replace antiquated irrigation infrastructure to improve conservation along the valley's robust agricultural corridor and restore riparian areas and wildlife habitat. Romero Heaney says keeping the river healthy is critical to the health of local economies because tourists flock to the Yampa Valley not just for skiing, but for fishing, rafting, and other outdoor recreation. She notes sections of the river around Steamboat Springs have exceeded the EPA's heat standard, and the fund can help green light projects to increase shade along riverbanks.
That's the extraordinary part about the Yampa River Fund. It's great to have all these plans in place and these projects identified, but without capacity and without funding, none of it happens.
For Public News Service, I'm Eric Galatas.
Finally, our Suzanne Potter reports that Governor Tim Walz just declared Minnesota a clean car state, and at that time directed the Minnesota Pollution Control Administration to start rulemaking to limit tailpipe pollution in many cars and also to increase the number of electric vehicles sold in the state.
The new rules would mimic those in 14 other states and D.C. State Senator Nick Friends says this will give Minnesota car buyers a lot more options.
Right now in the United States, there are 43 different models sold, but only 19 are available in Minnesota. So we're talking about changes that will not only benefit public health, but hopefully reduce our carbon emissions.
All current cars, trucks, and SUVs would remain on the market. Transportation is the number one source of climate change causing pollution in the state. Supporters say introduction of more clean cars would also significantly improve air quality. Opponents say the changes could increase the cost of some cars.
Minnesota is part of a multi-state lawsuit filed last Friday to uphold the state's rights under the Clean Air Act to set their own standards. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported. And you will find us online at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. You can go to the newsroom at wavefarm.org under WGXC and find out more about all of these stories. Jeffrey Wilson reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that the Hudson Valley Democrats in Congress are now united in support of an impeachment inquiry of the president. Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, who represents the 18th District in the Southern Hudson Valley, and Representative Antonio Delgado both announced September 24th that they were joining Representative Paul Tonko and almost 200 other Democrats supporting impeachment. Maloney said he is, quote, prepared to pursue an impeachment inquiry. I have had a high bar for putting the country through an impeachment inquiry, especially so close to an election, but these allegations go to the heart of the oath I took. There comes a time to put your country first, unquote. Delgado and Maloney committed publicly to impeachment just hours before House Speaker Nancy Pelosi also called for an official impeachment inquiry. New York Democrat Representative Joe Morrell, who represents Rochester, also joined the list of those backing impeachment, which grew to over 200 by the end of the day. The U.S. Senate voted unanimously September 24th for a non-binding resolution calling for the whistleblower complaint related to President Trump's communications with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to be released to the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. Trump admits to asking about Ukraine investigating the son of Democrat Joe Biden and was reportedly threatening to withhold Senate-approved funding for the country. House Democrats are expected to vote to condemn the president's actions with Ukraine in the September 25th vote. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. Jeanette Wolfberg reports in the Columbia paper that Hudson Housing Authority Board of Commissioners met on September 11th and selected Randall Martin as chair, Marie Ball vice chair, and Peggy Pollenberg treasurer for the 2019-2020 year. The HHH board selected Randall Martin to be the chair. He's a local videographer. He moves up from vice chair, replacing Alan Weaver. Ball is a partner at the Look Apparel store in Hudson and joined the board last November. Pollenberg will start a second year as treasurer. The HHA administers the 135-unit income-restricted Bliss Apartments and federal Section 8 vouchers housing elsewhere in Hudson. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. Amanda Purcell reports in Columbia Green Media that the Hudson Development Corporation is broke and trying to sublease their space near the Hudson waterfront. Quote, it's not being used and we're broke, so if it has to be approved by the council, that could be 2 to 3 months, unquote, said Steve Dunn, after learning the Hudson Common Council would have to approve any deal. The HDC has office space on the second floor of First North Front Street, above the Columbia County Chamber of Commerce. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. William J. Kemble reports in the Daily Freeman that the Public Access Northern Dutchess Area, or PANDA Group, is being asked by its Rhinebeck landlord to move, putting the organization in jeopardy. PANDA chairperson Eric Rybak also complained that as consumers cut cords on cable TV, funding for public access television dries up. Quote, one of the risks is that as people sign off of cable, that revenue is going to go down, unquote, he said. The group is paid to record and broadcast board meetings in the town and village of Rhinebeck, the town and village of Red Hook, and the village of Tivoli. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. This has been the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about all these stories and more.
Hello, and welcome to the better weather. It is autumnal prep day 4. Stock up before the rush. You may need things like lip balm, lotion, canned foods, rock salt, sand, bird seed, and other standard winter necessities. Living in New York State, it is gravely important that your vehicle is up to the task of getting you around during winter. Make sure your brakes are in good working order and that you're sporting tires with no dry rot and at least 5 millimeters of tread. 4- and all-wheel drive vehicles may help you get moving, but they do not help you stop. Also, if you've tinkered with your cooling system at all this year, a cheap hydrometer from a local auto shop can help you measure how well your antifreeze is protecting your car. Also, don't forget to completely drain the gas from all yard equipment. Ethanol can harm different components when left for long periods. If you can't fully drain a device, then add the appropriate amount of fuel stabilizer and run it a little bit to make sure the whole fuel system is treated. Okay, temperatures today will start in the mid-50s. We'll make it to 75 by 1 p.m. Rain and a small chance of thunder will enter the area around noon and last until dark. Overnight, temps will drop to the upper 40s. Tomorrow will be dry with a high of 73. Over on the river, high tides will be at 12:47 a.m. and at 1:32 p.m. Low tides will be at 7:50 a.m. and at 8 o'clock p.m. Water temperature will be 71 degrees. Looking way up, we see the coronal hole that hosed us in early September is giving it another go. G1 and G2 class storms are predicted for September 27th and September 28th. Current solar wind speed is 398 kilometers per second at 3.1 protons per milliliter. This has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Hi, this is Linda Tripp, 4-H educator for Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Green Counties. Visit the Catterskill Gallery at Columbia Green Community College in October to view the 4-H art exhibit showcasing block prints from over 75 4-H club members. Join us for the opening reception on Thursday, October 10th from 5 to 7 p.m. Cornell Cooperative Extension provides equal program and employment opportunities.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Green and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter Meyer of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Green and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Here is a preview of the feature shows coming up on WGXC on Thursday, September 26. At 11 a.m., Transformational Listening, hosted by Dennis Darra. He will present the music of the blind husband and wife musicians Amadou and Mariam from Mali. What's the Frequency Kenneth is on at 2 p.m., hosted by Paul Fisher, and this week's subject will be whistleblowers. And then at 3 p.m., Donald Dump Theater, volume number 141, Impeachment Now. Backtracks in Time is on at 7 p.m., hosted by Jack Sinkaba. He'll be talking with historic preservationist Meg Nowak. The Sound, Songs, and Radio Art of Audio Buffet is on at 8 p.m. And finally at 9 p.m., Bobby Previte's Blueprints will be performing on a live web stream from the Avalon Lodge in Catskill. Visit our website, wgxc.org, for more information.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're with Johanna Fowler of Mothers Out Front of Dutchess County, and welcome to the show, Johanna.
Thanks so much for having me, Alexis.
So let's get right to it. What is this event that you're having, Earth to Cuomo?
We're having a mass rally in Poughkeepsie on Sunday, October 13th of Columbus Day weekend. It's called Earth to Cuomo, the Rally for New York's Climate. And it's our intention to send a strong, unified message to our governor, Governor Andrew Cuomo, that New Yorkers from all over the state are very concerned about the direction that New York is heading while the earth is getting hotter and hotter. We have a new law that was passed and signed by Governor Cuomo in June called the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, or the CLCPA for short. And that ambitious law has set targets that define deadlines by which emissions of carbon dioxide from the power sector must be reduced by 100% in 20 years. And we know that what is happening in New York in reality is that new natural gas facilities are being proposed, and that the ones that may start in January have a 40, 50, and 60-year life cycle that take us well beyond the deadline of 2040. So we have concerns about how we're going to get to the law's legally defined mandates to reduce carbon emissions to zero by 2040 from the power sector while we have what's really going on in the state happening.
Is there a challenge to the law? I mean, why is natural gas infrastructure being built in spite of it?
Well, because it's the currently easy way out. We know that the fossil fuel industry is one of the biggest lobbyists in America, and this is where we're at right now. And we have safe alternatives. We have wind and solar and geothermal, but they're not being actively pursued the way they should be. Way back during the Obama administration, when he was setting energy guidelines, the clean energy renewables were not at the point that they are today, much vastly improved. What we need is more money to put behind clean energy renewables, more money for investments and research, instead of the billions of dollars that we're spending on constructing fossil fuel infrastructure. So that's really one of the issues, that despite the fact that know our Earth has a fever and it's getting hotter every year, and that power plants emit greenhouse gases that accelerate global warming, our leaders are not running in this race against time. They are walking, and we need to ask them to do much more quickly.
So stop the fossil fuel infrastructure from being built. That seems pretty obvious, but how to get there is a much more challenging question. So let me think of how to phrase this question. What are the goals of the rally? I mean, what is your message to Cuomo, and why did you invite him?
Well, we invited Governor Cuomo as the only elected official to speak because he has the trigger. He has his finger on the trigger of everything that happens in New York. He is our elected leader. And in April, we presented a petition to him and to the Department of Environmental Conservation and other New York state leaders asking him to use his authority and his influence to expedite move away from fossil fuel dependency toward clean energy renewables, and to specifically asked him to do another study of a huge power plant that's under construction here in Dutchess County on the Connecticut-New York border. He didn't answer our request, and we asked for a new study because this power plant in particular was authorized in 2012, which is light years ago in the world of science, in terms of the way we measure the impact of greenhouse gases, in terms of the research that has come out since 2011 about the impact on health and on the environment from greenhouse gases and chemical pollutants.
Are there specific development projects that you're targeting? Can you name them?
Oh, yes. Start with Cricket Valley here in Dutchess County. This plant is under construction. It started in 2017, even though it was approved in 2012, and it's scheduled to go online in January. And this plant by itself will contribute almost 4 million metric tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. If you take into account the methane that leaks from the pipelines, the natural infrastructure, the compressor plants, from the moment that it's fracked from the ground, it will generate from 6 to 16 million metric tons every year for the next 40 to 50 years. Then there's the Danskammer plant on the Hudson River in Newburgh, which is under proposal, a 680-megawatt power plant facility. And that's a site that was flooded during Storm Sandy. Doesn't make sense. The competitive Power Ventures energy plant started up in January. Again, it has a 40, 50, 60-year life cycle, and it's going to be putting out pollutants and greenhouse gases every year for the next 40 or 50 or 60 years of its natural life cycle. These take us in the wrong direction because our new law, the CLCPA that Governor Cuomo signed, said that we must be reducing carbon emissions, and yet these proposed and actual power plants are going to be adding carbon emissions to the power grid.
So we got 3 minutes.
Yep.
Have you received a response from Cuomo?
No, we have not. And we haven't received a response with regard to our petition for Cricket Valley, asking for a new study that's updated and not stale, that takes into account global warming and new research. We haven't received a response to our invitation, which we presented to him last Friday. And we'll send another invitation to him, and we hope that he can attend.
Do you have an idea of how many people are expected to come to the rally?
We don't have an accurate count. We know that people schedule their activities maybe 2 or 3 weeks out, so we're beginning to get a couple of hundred, and we're hoping to increase it by exponential numbers before long. I was going to say that for people who would like to know what's happening, they can go to hashtag Earth to Cuomo, the word T-O, and find out what's happening. If they need information about the rally, they should go to the website ny.mothersoutfront.org/Earth2Cuomo. But the 2 is a figure 2, number 2. So again, that's ny.mothersoutfront.org/Earth2Cuomo. And they can get details there. We want people from Troy and from Binghamton and everywhere to come. And by the way, if people don't think that natural gas is dangerous, they should know that on Monday of this week, there was a huge explosion that killed the driver of a truck that was carrying compressed natural gas. This tractor-trailer driver was killed in a crash on Interstate 88 early on Monday, and this forced mandatory evacuations of about 80 residential homes, along with school closures near the towns of Chenango and Fenton in Broome County. The driver, as I said, was carrying compressed natural gas when it crashed around 1 in the morning when he tried to avoid hitting a deer in the road. This is just one incident of how dangerous natural gas can be when it's transported in a bomb truck. That's what we call them. And the evacuation lasted all day. People had to leave their homes and schools were closed. We have in Cricket Valley 800 school kids within 3/4 of a mile of that plant that are going to be hammered day in and day out by the chemical pollutants that are emitted from that plant before, you know, the air carries it away throughout our large and vast region.
In Cricket Valley, it was approved in 2012.
Oh. Yes, based on a 2011 study that's stale.
I see. And what's the reaction of them?
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
is Echo. You are listening to WJXC Agra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.